One of the things I love about the Pacific Northwest and its weather is that it's easy to be a brilliant gardener. Every spring we plant something new, trying different vegetables and herbs. Last year it was carrots. This year it's sugar snap peas. We tuck them in among the flowers or wherever there's room, and then we watch what happens. What we grow doesn't really reduce our grocery bill that much. We live in Seattle, after all. But it is really satisfying. I have learned a lot from gardening. Like, transplanting is always hard on a plant. So I have to wait a full cycle of seasons to see if it's going to thrive. When aphids attack, often ladybugs are already on the way. I don't know how that happens, but it does. And if pea shoots don't have a trellis to grow on, they'll use each other for support. It seems that nature has its own web of interdependency and sustenance. And my role is to get out of the way and pay attention. Our gospel from Mark today is a little cryptic, so here's some context. It's early in Jesus' ministry, and he's traveling around Galilee, teaching and healing people. His followers are growing, laborers, farmers, fisher people who live day to day under the thumb of the Roman oppressors. They are forgettable to the elite and to the powerful, but Jesus treats them as worthy. Important enough to be healed of lifelong disabilities and consequential to the God that Jesus proclaims. When a large crowd presses in on Jesus at Galilee, he gets in a boat and then begins to teach to the people on the shore about the kingdom of God. Now, from the start of his ministry, Jesus insists that the kingdom of God is near, but what that actually means is elusive. Because God's kingdom is not a physical place or a nation governed by an all-powerful ruler. And so it's often translated as the reign of God or the realm of God. It's a living reality in opposition to the oppression and suffering under the Roman Empire. For Jesus, peace, justice, and universal solidarity hold authority in the realm of God, not Caesar. People live with and they relate to each other in an entirely new way, attending to God's desire for all of creation, including for themselves. And God's realm is not static, fixed, but it's known through actions like giving and healing and reconciling, growing. It's not easy to grasp, which is why Jesus speaks about the reign of God in parables, little stories that break open the truth, but never express it entirely. And in Mark's gospel, Jesus offers three parables about the kingdom of God and the life of seeds. We heard two today, but before the two we heard is a much longer one. And it's the parable that recalls the farmer who sows seeds pretty much indiscriminately on a footpath or dry soil, thorny ground, and rich compost. And most of the seed doesn't take hold, but what does take hold produces so much grain, it is impossible to measure. And you may know that parable, and how Jesus then explains that the rich soil represents people who accept the word of God and bear fruit in their own lives. When we consider it, we often ask ourselves, what kind of soil am I? Am I bearing fruit? There is a sense that that parable is about our responsibility for making the realm of God a reality. But then we hear the other two parables that we got in today's gospel. In the first, a man scatters seed and then wanders off, going about his life without paying attention to the fields. And the gospel says, the earth produces of itself Literally, automatically, the earth produces automatically, growing from small shoot to full head of grain. And when the earth and the seed have done all the work to produce the bountiful crop, the man snaps to attention and goes in and harvests. The kingdom of God is like that. What? How can God's kingdom be like a farmer who doesn't do anything to make the crop grow, but still gets to harvest it? Isn't a fruitful life all about hard work and striving? Apparently not. It seems that there is a powerful force that brings forth growth and goodness that doesn't need human help. I imagine Jesus telling this parable with a smile as he sees the confused looks on the disciples' faces. The second parable continues. The kingdom of God is like the smallest mustard seed that, when planted, grows up to become the greatest of all shrubs, with branches large enough for birds to nest. It's a beautiful image, isn't it? A tiny dormant seed is transformed by the rich earth into something gracious and generative. The kingdom of God is like that. But wait, what exactly is a mustard plant anyway? In ancient Palestine, it was a wild plant, essentially a weed. And it becomes the greatest of all shrubs, Jesus says in Mark's gospel. Now, I imagine Jesus laughing as the hands go up. That doesn't make sense. Wouldn't God's realm be more towering or majestic, like the cedars of Lebanon? At least some kind of tree, an evergreen for sure. A shrub is not very dignified. That may well have been the thought of the authors of Matthew and Luke's gospel, because when they retell this parable, the greatest of all shrubs does indeed become a tree. But in Mark's gospel, Jesus is clear. The reign of God is like the greatest of all scraggly annual weeds. That's kind of like saying God's reality of justice and peace for all people is like Himalayan blackberries that get cut back in the fall only to return in the spring, and they get so big and dense that rabbits can make nests for their babies. Or that God's desire for humanity's healing and reconciliation is like a gardener who works hard to dig out invasive horsetail fern, only to find its spores generating new plants everywhere in the garden. The kingdom of God is like that? Remember, Jesus and his followers came from peasant stock, and they would have known the routines of farming. The hard work, the poor soil, the unpredictable harvest. So Jesus isn't making a mistake here, meaning to equate God's realm with something grand, but stumbling over into a humble weed instead. No, he's asking us to reconsider how we imagine God's realm. Because here's the thing about weeds. They are indomitable. You can pull them out, but the root system, spores, and seeds remain. Some will expand no matter what you or the Roman Empire does. You can't control them, and if you give them enough room, they will take over your garden. In fact, underground, your garden belongs to the weeds. The kingdom of God is like that. John Dominic Crossan writes that the serenity and the security passed by Jesus to his followers, the serenity and security that Jesus passed to his followers, doesn't come from knowing hidden mysteries of the past or the present, but from watching nature's rhythms of here and now. When I watch nature's rhythms, I see a powerful web of interdependency and sustenance that incorporates all of creation. It is resilient and bountiful and beautiful. What do you see? The kingdom of God is like that.